97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. 25th day of September. Happy that you're with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. No matter how you got here, we're live on Rumble now on a regular basis. So we're happy if you're following us there instead of Facebook, where we've had a few difficulties on Facebook. So hopefully you can sign into Rumble. I mean, you can watch the show there on Rumble for free. You don't have to have an account, but if you want to get involved in the chat, there are a lot of people on the chat this morning. You can do that by joining us here on Rumble. You just sign in, make a free account, and you can participate in that. We're also still always, obviously, on the Odyssey app and 971talk.com. X, we're live on X every morning. And if you want to join in, we'd be happy to have you. We love that. I will remind you that the podcast is always available. Everything is on demand. You can go back and pick up particular segments you want to listen to. And that is always available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I think I've covered that. You know, we haven't talked about in a while, Carl.
No.
The comment line.
Don't. Please don't.
Oh, why?
Because it is currently not up.
Oh, it's not working.
No.
Nobody told me that. We're back in the new studio, and we're apparently having a little trouble accessing that. So that's bad. That's bad for the host to ask that question in real time during the show. I apologize.
That's all right.
I apologize for that. Coming up, we're going to get to our friend Genevieve Wood down at the Heritage Foundation, and Jeremy Cady is going to join me at the bottom of the hour at 7:35, because Amendment 3, it's one of the count them five amendments that you'll have to vote on, statewide amendments on your ballot in November. And all of these are going to be explained in down-to-earth language to tell you what they're trying to do and whether or not I agree with it or not in the voter guide, which could be coming out as early as tomorrow. I expect to have it done. It matter of the question is whether we're going to have it posted or not. So it's either going to be tomorrow or Friday. The voter guide will be up on the website, and we'll talk about more details on each of these. But specifically, Jeremy's going to talk about Amendment 3 and the grotesque amount of outside money that's being sent into the state of Missouri by people who aren't Missourians to try to impact the law in Missouri for pure politics, purely for political gain. They're trying to do this. Another $3.5 million flowed into the coffers just this past week, according to the MEC reports.
I don't agree with the way that things are. I don't agree with that being allowed, this outside money. And we know a lot of it. Well, the majority of it is going to be the left, because it's a huge abortion, as grotesque as it is and sad. It's a huge moneymaker for Planned Parenthood, despite them denying that. Remember when the Planned Parenthood here in St. Louis was shut down? They couldn't do abortions anymore. They're like, oh, yeah, abortions are, what did they say? Like 3% of the services we offer. They claimed. And yet, why were they so panicked when that happened? Well, because that's the huge moneymaker for them.
Yep.
Connect the dots.
I know. It's true. We'll talk with Jeremy about that coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Next hour, David Spunt from Fox is going to join us, one of their primary reporters. And he's reporting on the Trump assassination file. What has finally been reported in the United States Senate on this. We're going to get you a live update coming up here, I think, about 8:20. Is that right, Carl?
That what he yes, said? That is correct.
All right, good. So David Spunt will join us in the next hour. Right now, I want to get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
When I came to office as president, Afghanistan had replaced Vietnam as America's longest war. I was determined to end it, and I did.
Very poorly, at the expense of 13 American lives, you ended it. That was part of Joe Biden's farewell speech to the International Debate Society known as the UN.
To the auto workers in Michigan, Georgia, and all other parts of our country, I am pinpointing you for greatness. Your industry has been decimated.
Yeah, Donald Trump appealing to those workers in the auto industry there in Michigan, to the blue-collar workers in Pennsylvania. If you want your jobs to stay around, you better vote for Trump.
I've been very clear. I think we should eliminate the filibuster for Roe, and we need and get us to the point where we 51 votes.
Yeah, it's a little unusual to get Kamala Harris to admit to anything, but she did a interview with in friendly waters with NPR, National Public Radio affiliate. I think it might have been up in Minneapolis. I can't swear to that. But she said she's ready to dump the filibuster just to achieve Democratic policies.
But what we're going to do this week, as you know, is a very narrow, bare-bones CR to do only what's absolutely necessary.
Yeah. Mike Johnson, if you didn't recognize his voice there, talking about this CR that he's planning to pass. And, you know, the thing about it is he's caving to the left on this. He's caving to the rhino Republicans in Congress who refuse to go along and vote to keep the act in there that would have prevented illegals from voting. We know it's happening. There's evidence of it all across the country. Whether they let them vote accidentally or intentionally doesn't matter. The end result is the same. They shouldn't be allowed to vote. They should have to prove who they are. That's all we're asking for. But not even the Republicans in the House could agree on that.
I'm not really surprised they're doing a continuing resolution. I kind of predicted that, especially with the upcoming election.
Yep.
This next vote is now, I believe, scheduled for December 20th. So it gets them through all that. And then, well, at that point, they certainly could kick the can down the road again, because we've seen them do that time and again.
And I see that argument. But depending on what happens, Mike Johnson's going to be out again as speaker.
Yeah, he might.
Listen to Marjorie Taylor Greene just yesterday.
Well, he has immense power, but this is a different situation. The speaker has lost the respect of the conference. And it's not out there in the public for everyone to see, because we're trying to hold it together and we're trying to win on November 5th. But it's a lot different on the inside than it appears on the outside, Dave. And yes, typically the speaker has tremendous power to wield over his members and can get members to vote a certain way. But in this situation, it's complete.
Yeah, I don't know why that cut off soon there. But she's claiming that he has lost the faith of the House, of members of the House. We'll have to get a couple of our Missouri congresspeople on here and ask them about that.
Well, remember when they first made the decision to have him become speaker, we really didn't know much about him. And so the more we researched him, the more I was a fan of what I felt like he was going to do. And I feel like in a lot of ways he's kind of fallen short. I do understand to some degree you have to compromise, as much as I don't like the idea of having to do that with the left. There is some level of that you would have to do as speaker to get anything passed. But I think their point is, Marjorie Taylor Greene's point is, he's gone too far. He's caved a little bit too much with the rhinos and the Democrats.
Yep, I think that's very true. Maybe we can get Eric Burleson on to talk about that. He'd probably be honest with us about what the feeling is up there. All right, a quick break. We are going to get to our friends at the Heritage Foundation coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Our friend Genevieve Wood is going to join us, as she always does, and we'll talk about what they're working on at Heritage. Also coming up, Jeremy Cady on Amendment 3 and the opposition to it, which at this point just doesn't seem very organized. We'll be right back.
Please be advised, and we have to tell, this woman has allowed record numbers of people into our country. They're from all over the world. They're now creating criminal havoc throughout the country.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve Wood on the line with us this morning, senior advisor with the Heritage. Genevieve, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
You know, I hear President Trump, that's a pretty standard part of his stump speech, is talking about the border, the lack of security, how many people have broken into our country under the Harris-Biden administration. The big question, though, for me when it comes to election integrity is, why aren't we more careful with who's being registered to vote? Because we know non-citizens have voted in the past, and we're looking at very narrow margins here will make a difference in this election.
That's right. And Mark, it's important to note, when we talk about non-citizens, that's a combination of people who are here legally, but they're not citizens of the country, and all the millions who we know who crossed the border who are here illegally.
Yes.
But either way, you know, the states are, take, for example, California, and they've been doing this for years. They, when you register to get a driver's license, they say, check the, it's called motor voter, check the box if you want to vote, or, you know, if you're a citizen and want to vote. Well, what non-citizen is going to tell people, especially if they're here illegally, oh, by the way, I'm illegal, so I can't vote, so I'm not going to check that box. So many people end up being registered who never should be registered in the first place. And I would argue that vote, like the law that I just talked about in California, is set up to register people who shouldn't be voting, because many on the left, as Democrats know, when they do vote, they tend to vote for Democrats. I mean, yes. If you go back and look at 2008, of all the non-citizens who voted, 81% voted for Barack Obama. And in places like North Carolina, and now this year in places like Georgia and Michigan and Arizona, the states are the top battleground states. They have some of the highest non-citizens living in those states. And in many, as you just said, a state can be won by 12,000 votes. So it's not like everybody who's a non-citizen has to vote. Mm-hmm. If even, you know, 2% vote, that can sway an election. It can certainly sway a congressional seat.
According, you, this is quoted in the Daily Signal article from the Center for Immigration Studies. I've had him on here. In fact, Stephen Camerod has been a guest on here a number of times. This is what they estimate. Pennsylvania has 516,000 voting age non-citizens. Michigan, 271,000. Nevada, 258,000. Wisconsin, 129,000. If even the smallest percentage of them make it into the polls and vote, that swings the election.
That's right, because, I mean, even if it's a small number, some estimates are saying it could be a million, some are saying it could be 2.7 million non-citizens that vote, but either way, last time around in both Georgia and Arizona, those elections in those states were won with less than 40,000 votes and 12,000 votes, respectively. So the idea that this would make no difference is just crazy. Everybody knows this is going to be a very close election, and it's very likely going to come down to certain states where, again, it could be won by thousands of votes, and you have millions of people in this country, both legally and illegally, that could be registering to vote and getting out there to do so. And then keep in mind, you have places like the District of Columbia and New York City and other places that actually allow non-citizens to vote in their local elections. So you think they're going to come in and just vote for mayor, but they're not going to vote for president? I mean, how does that work?
Right. They're just
asking for trouble because they want chaos. And the truth is, they want people to vote for their side, regardless of whether they're a citizen or not.
100%. Genevieve, there was another story on the Daily Signal that caught our attention, and that was just this idea that Joe Biden has put out there saying, oh, you know, don't worry, a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas, it's coming, and acting like he's going to be able to be the person to get it done. Has he actually talked to Hamas? Because they're the ones who don't want this. They don't believe in a two-state solution, yet that's what you hear the, now I would say, Harris-Biden administration, they continue to push that.
No, the idea that at this point they're going to, I sound like Joe Biden, the idea they're going to get this.
Number one, number two.
I mean, the terrorists aren't stupid. They may be evil, but they're not stupid. And even if you're in Israel at this point, here we are, a month and a half out from an election, not even a month and a half, and they're probably thinking, we're just going to wait this out, because if Trump wins, this probably changes the whole ball game. So we're going to see who the next folks are that we're dealing with here. But look, Hamas doesn't want a ceasefire. I mean, and they talked about in the story we have in the Daily Signal that like 90% of the deal is done. Well, that's because all the easy stuff, right?
Right.
But what it gets down to is there going to be two states? Where do we draw the lines? Does Israel get to keep any troops within the Gaza Strip, which, of course, Israel wants to do, and Hamas does not. But it's also bigger than just Israel and Hamas at this point. Iran is in on this, Hezbollah. I mean, the whole Middle East is really involved in this deal, if you think about it. And the Biden administration, let's keep in mind, a peace deal had been struck under the Trump administration in 2020. And things were going pretty well. It still was a region that has conflict, and there was work to be done. But the Abraham Accords had gone a long way in building solid goodwill between Israel and many of the Arab states there. That's now all off the table, and we're basically having to start over in many respects. And all this entire war broke out on the Biden-Harris administration's watch, which is also true about what happened in Ukraine. there were no wars going on, that the U.S. was involved in under President Trump. And now we see that the world's on fire in many places. And yet they want to pretend that if Harris gets elected, I guess that's just all going to go away.
Yeah, it's true. And then next, Biden and Harris will be calling for a ceasefire with Lebanon, because it seems like that's where it's going next, for sure. We'll wait and see. Genevieve, thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, direct people to thedailysignal.com, heritage.org. Always great to get her on here. Yeah, that's going to be next, right? We're bombing Hezbollah. We've already set off their pagers and probably, you know, destroyed the family lives of many of them, many of those terrorists. So at least they're looking down the road and trying to cut down on the terrorist population 20 years from now.
Yeah.
If nothing else, we're impacting that over there. If Donald Trump said it first, but if you love Israel, if you support Israel, there's only one party to vote for in the upcoming election. Just do the math. It's pretty simple. Jeremy Katie coming up on Amendment 3. That's the abortion petition that's on the ballot for November. We'll kick it around with him right after the break. All right. Once again, the voter guide will be out this week, either tomorrow or Friday. Of course, we'll make the announcement here. We'll have it up on the website for you, because voting is underway for absentee voters anyway in Missouri. And I think it starts in Illinois tomorrow. But Amendment 3 is not going to affect you in Illinois. It is in Missouri. And that is the abortion issue that's going to be on the ballot that will provide abortion up until birth. It's right there in the language. We can talk about it in a minute. But the effort to pass it is getting millions of dollars in dark money from all over the place. And that's disturbing on just a whole lot of levels, in my opinion. So right now I want to welcome in Jeremy Katie, who is a conservative political consultant these days, CEO of Bolt Advantage. And Jeremy, I saw you posting on this yesterday. How are you?
I am doing great today. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I'm very disappointed that there's not been a more coordinated effort to fight Amendment 3.
Understood. I know, you know, there's a couple of different groups and organizations that are out there. Missouri Right to Life PAC obviously is in the trenches on this one. But I think even to this point, they've only raised roughly $350,000 or so. There's Vote No on 3. They've raised about $125,000, maybe up to about $200,000 now on this particular issue. And that's kind of where we stand right now. So the left, like you just said, has been moving a ton of money from New York and Washington, D.C. into the state of Missouri, well over $10 million now, I think, right now to spend on this and to advocate for their lies. There's a number of myths that they're pushing right now and lying to Missourians, and I think those I think we need to expand on those and actually share the truth of what's going on.
Boy, it's the truth. Just to point out, to talk about what you mentioned there, Michael Bloomberg, $1 million he donated on the 23rd, which was 2 days ago. Advocacy Action Fund out of Menlo Park, California, $1.2 million on the 19th of this month. Open Source Action Fund, $1 million on September 3rd. This money is pouring in from out of state. For what reason, other than some sort of weird political gain? What do they get out of this if they live in New York?
No, exactly. And what is the hidden agenda here?
Yeah.
You know, what is the Trojan horse that they're trying to do? So myth number one that I think folks need to know and understand, they say this is about women's rights, that this is about women's health care. But guess what one word they coincidentally left out of the entire Amendment 3? Woman. It does not appear in there one time. They use the term person. So every person, that applies to men, that applies to children. It's not a pro-woman bill. It's a gateway for gender ideology, child manipulation, and irreversible medical procedures on minors without parental consent. So they keep pushing this for women, but it does far more than that. They use reproductive health care. So instead of, you know, myth number two, it's about abortion. No, it's about reproductive health care.
Yeah.
You read through the language, it says limited to, included, but not limited to. And then one of those items is abortion. The International Journal for Transgender Health, guess what it defines gender conversion as? Reproductive health care. Amendment 3 is actually giving kids the constitutional right to gender transition without their parental consent. So it is about abortion, but it's about so much more.
Yeah, and one of the other myths that I've heard people talking about, and I've been tweeting about this going back and forth with people, is that unless you reverse the ban on abortion in Missouri, that if you had a miscarriage, which is just so tragic, that you would not be allowed to get a DNC.
No, absolutely. And it was interesting. It was just yesterday, in fact, Senator Lankford in the U.S. Senate Finance Committee was in a hearing, and he was questioning someone on this particular question. And he mentioned, are there any states that criminalize miscarriage? She answered, no. Are there any care for, or do they criminalize the care for any miscarriage? No. Are there any states that criminalize the removing of ectopic pregnancy? No. Are there any states that prohibit life-saving care for the mother? No. Time and time again, the truth is said otherwise. But again, they have to lie to get this through.
Yeah, very true. You know, I want to just read the section of this, and anybody's welcome to go in and do it. Go to the Secretary of State's website. Go to the actual verbiage that will become part of our Constitution, and go to subsection 4. And I'm going to read it. Because get past the legalese here. The General Assembly may enact laws that regulate the provision of abortion after fetal viability, provided that, and here's the key words here, under no circumstance shall the government deny, interfere with, delay, or otherwise restrict an abortion that in the good faith judgment of a treating healthcare professional is needed to protect the life or physical or mental health of the pregnant person. So in other words, up until the day of birth, if in their good faith judgment, they think it's necessary, the Missouri Constitution will allow a baby to be aborted.
Absolutely. They often will say that it's reinstating Roe, but it's going far beyond that. This is radical. This will make Missouri have one of the most extreme abortion laws in the nation. California and New York are going to be jealous of Missouri if this passes. But to your point, what will occur is up until birth, and then also the healthcare provider.
Yeah.
Doesn't even define healthcare professional.
Yeah.
It could be a nurse, a paramedic, a psychologist, or even a social worker.
Yeah.
We don't know because it doesn't define it.
You know, there AOC had posted something about, oh, we must abolish the death penalty. And then Ali Bastucky, who I like to follow her, she said, sad fact, babies aborted in the second trimester are injected with the same chemical combination in potassium chloride as executed murderers. Celebrating the former while mourning the latter makes you a demonic person. And I could not agree more.
I was not even aware of that.
I wasn't either until I saw that.
Yeah,
that is crazy. That's and that's just how radical this is getting.
Yeah,
I would agree. So Jeremy, quickly here, since you've been consulting on some of these issues, what's your advice for people who want to try to help get the word out and know on 3 between now and November? I mean, is there a good website for them to go to? I mean, I know Missouri Right to Life has been pretty active on this. Is there anywhere else you'd recommend people go, maybe to find signs or to find more information?
All right, so obviously Missouri Right to Life PAC, that's MissouriLifePAC.org, has a lot of information on there. The other one, MissouriProtects.org, and at MissouriProtects.org, they actually have a sign up for signs. So if you want a sign and you want to put that up in your yard, they do have that. They're available. But I think the other biggest thing that we need, we're going to need a grassroots effort on this, especially coming from our churches.
Yes.
And so both the Catholic Conference, and I actually spoke to a good friend of mine from down in Springfield, Tim Kerrison, and he's with the Alliance Defending Freedom. He even posted some items on X, used to be Twitter, on IRS regulations on this. Churches are absolutely allowed to advocate on this issue. Pastors can preach from the pulpit that Amendment 3 is evil, and they need to start doing so. So we need a huge effort by our religious institutions, our churches, our synagogues, from our priests, our pastors, our ministers, everyone across the state of Missouri getting up and saying, this is wrong, and we need to oppose this. And I think that's where it needs to start.
Yeah, I would agree. Jeremy, Katie, I appreciate your time. That was MissouriProtects.org, did you say?
Yeah, so MissouriProtects.org, okay. And then MissouriLifePack.org are two of the organizations working on this.
Very good. Jeremy, we'll talk again soon. Thanks for your hard work.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep, take care. Jeremy Cady there spent many years with Americans for Prosperity, and now he's trying to help out by opposing this Amendment 3. The voter guide will be out soon. It'll explain it all. All you have to do is read it for yourself, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about, how dangerous this amendment really is. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. What are we talking about?
Controversial situation after a woman from the Midwest used what's called a suicide pod. They're also calling it the Tesla of euthanasia.
Wow.
To end her life. Now several people have been arrested.
All right, back in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
There's a story that is getting a lot of attention on several different news outlets that I've looked at, talking about how this woman from the Midwest, 64 years old, she was immune compromised, doesn't say specifically with what, but she traveled to Switzerland to use what's called a suicide pod, though some have dubbed it the Tesla of euthanasia, to end her life. Now, several people have been arrested. What's interesting about this is that Switzerland is one of the few countries, I guess, where people can go to legally end their lives through assisted suicide. But there's a caveat to that. It can involve a doctor. Cannot involve a doctor. So they kind of found a loophole in this, what they call it. It's called a sarco, short for sarcophagus. And it kind of, how would you guys describe it, Mark and Carl? Because you've looked at a picture of it.
Yeah, it looks like the pod that they jettisoned Spock out of on one of the Star Trek movies when he died. Was that Star Trek 2?
Yes.
Okay.
It looks like a mini spaceship. It's just big enough for you to lie down in it, but you're kind of almost like standing up.
But it's kind of at an angle.
It's at an angle, yes.
It's very like, sleek looking.
It's like what Kal-El Superman came to from Krypton.
Sort of like that, yeah.
It's futuristic looking, and actually the people behind it said that was their intent, was to make it look like you were traveling somewhere else. And the idea is that you can bring this pod to, say, the top of a mountain or a beach or a forest, which is where this woman from the Midwest went.
Wow.
And it's supposed to be like dying in your sleep. Now, as a Christian, I don't agree with this. What it does is it asks you a question. If you want to die, press this button. Once you press it, within a couple of inhales, they say you're going to start to feel lethargic. And then just a few minutes later, they said certainly within 10 minutes, you're dead. And it floods the small chamber with nitrogen, which, of course, is what eventually is going to kill you.
Kim, you won't remember this. There was a movie in the 70s called Soylent Green, and they needed a food source, so everybody had to commit suicide at age 35, and they turned your body into food. It was really disgusting.
That's very disturbing.
It was disgusting, but in the movie, they would take you into a room, and they would play a film of like peaceful wood scenes, like you're out in nature as they put you down. So that's kind of what came back to mind, because when I Googled this story, the Daily Mail had a picture of this thing. When they found it, it was sitting in the woods, like somebody wanted to spend their last waking moments out in nature, I guess. So they had the thing transported out to the woods, and that's where they discovered it in this mm-hmm. case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This whole thing is just very weird to me. Yes, this woman chose, I guess, the woods is where she wanted this sarco. I've never heard of what you're talking about. But there are people
like Charlton Heston.
Yeah,
still never heard of it. And
Moses.
I know Moses. If it's the Moses I'm thinking about. But what's interesting is people are facing charges in this, because I guess you still, in Switzerland, can't use euthanasia. to do that, which of course is what they did. So even the photographer who was there to take pictures of this being used, which is so twisted, even that person is now facing charges in all of this. There's supposedly an emergency exit, but if they're saying within two breaths in that you're going to be very lethargic, I would think it's too late. And I look at this as something where people are going to think, okay, I'm having a hard time. I've just been diagnosed with something. I have no chance. And instead of being hopeful and trying to push through like we should be, right? It's like, well, this is the better option. It almost glamorizes it. Somebody posted on Facebook, and I thought this was a good point, that it basically dehumanizes it. They kind of compared it to abortion.
Yes.
That as long as you can dehumanize the person or whatever the act is, it makes it seem like, well, this is fine,
like
right?
It's a health choice, but it's a death.
Exactly.
Right.
You have to call it what it is. And please hear me when I tell you, I am so sorry to people who are dealing with depression or a terminal illness. Like, I cannot even imagine that. But this Sarko suicide pod is just not the answer. And I worry that people are going to look at this and think, yeah, that's the way I want to go. In fact, a couple has already determined and signed up to do this. I think there's like a double pod where they could go together.
Wow. I don't even know what to say about it. But you know, there are people in America that would love to see it come here. So.
Yep.
Vote appropriately. I don't know that that's what Kamala Harris's position would be on that, but you see how things have flipped the last 30 years in America? You got to think that's coming next. Reproductive death care is what they'll call it.
They'll find some way to, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Call it something else.
Mm-hmm. Coming up, there's a new Senate report into the attempted assassinations of Donald Trump. We're going to check in with Fox News correspondent David Spunt at about 8:20. I got Taylor Riggs from the Fox Business Network and Steve Shankman from the Evolution Festival is coming in to talk about the newest addition to the lineup for that big festival. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.